This is special programming on the novel coronavirus from North State Public Radio. I'm news director Sarah Bohannon. Tonight we hear from the president and CEO of Enloe Medical Center in Chico about the hospital's preparedness plans and capacity for a possible surge. We also follow up with NSPR reporter Andre Bayek about what he's been hearing from Enloe staff. And we talk masks. What are the new recommendations? Why are they important? And how can you make your own mask from home? We want you to drive this coverage. That means we need to hear from you. What information do you need to know? Leave your ideas and comments on our website, mynspr.org, or call us on our message line, 433-9216. That's 433-9216. For Thursday, April 9th, 2020, this is special coverage from North State Public Radio. First, some news.
For NSPR News, I'm Mark Albert. Health officials have confirmed more than 1,300 new COVID-19 infections in California over the past day, increasing the number of cases to a total of 18,309. 50 more deaths linked to the illness also occurred, pushing the death toll in the state to 492. In the latest numbers from North State counties, public health authorities discovered 4 new cases of COVID-19 today, raising the number of confirmed cases in the region to 85. The number of deaths in the North State remains at 5. While small by national standards, Shasta County has the most confirmed cases in the region at 24. Sutter County has 20 cases, Yuba 15, Butte 13. There are also 4 cases in Siskiyou County, 3 each in Colusa and Plumas, 2 in Glenn, and 1 in Tehama County. A small financial boost is on the way for the more than 2 million Californians who've lost their jobs due to the outbreak. Unemployment insurance checks issued starting next week will have an additional $600 added thanks to the recent $2.2 trillion federal bailout bill. Unemployment benefits typically top out at $450 a week. The Boys and Girls Club of the North Valley will continue to dish out hot dinners for hungry children in Chico and Paradise, and other services will remain in place in Oroville, Gridley, and elsewhere thanks to the help of local youth turned gridiron great Aaron Rogers. David Little, executive vice president of the North Valley Community Foundation, said Rogers contacted the foundation and asked that $50,000 from the $1 million he donated earlier to fire relief instead be redirected for pandemic relief. The Boys and Girls Clubs received $20,000 to continue providing curbside pickup of hot meals for hungry children in Chico and Paradise. Smaller amounts will support programs including an emergency day camp in Oroville, groups aiding autistic children, and homeless youth. For NSPR News, I'm Mark Albert.
This is special coverage on the novel coronavirus from North State Public Radio. I'm Sarah Bohannon. This pandemic has overwhelmed hospitals and hotspots across the country, with shortages in supplies and medical workers, who are no doubt on the front lines when it comes to possibly getting sick. As of yesterday in California, more than 1,800 healthcare workers have fallen ill with COVID-19. To take a closer look at what's happening on the healthcare front locally, NSPR's Andre Bayek this week spoke with Mike Wiltermood, Enloe Medical Center's president and CEO, about how the hospital is preparing for a potential surge and when that possible increase in COVID patients could happen. The interview followed an announcement that the Enloe Rehabilitation Center on East Avenue would be retrofitted to a federal medical station with 125 beds to help address a potential surge. One of Andre's first questions was at what point the facility could be used.
It really depends. I mean, obviously, the easiest thing for us in our community is to keep COVID patients here on the Esplanade campus. We have about 36 ICU beds, and we have a dedicated unit, nursing unit for non-intensive care COVID patients separated from the rest of the hospital that has all the requirements to treat those patients. So as soon as, if those beds get full, which we really doubt that's going to happen, but if those beds get full, we can start to use the surge capacity that we have on East Avenue to help offset that.
You mentioned some doubt that all those ICU beds would have to be used. What is that based on?
Well, You know, we do a lot of planning, and along with the state, and based on our population density and you know what we think is going to happen in the area, we believe as a state that we're probably going to experience about a 40% surge, and depending on where each area of the state lands as far as when they receive their first COVID patient, that's going to help determine when the surge is going to take place. So right now in Butte County, we're kind of thinking that the surge will probably occur in late April, last about a month, and we're anticipating about a 40% surge capacity. It's not to say that it can't get worse, of course, but and we have plans for you know, in case it does, but that's what we're anticipating right now.
You mentioned those resources, such as the additional beds at the East Avenue facility. Are there also additional medical professionals that will be needed in the case of a surge?
Well, yes, it really depends, again, on the size of the surge. Right now, because we're not at capacity in some areas of the hospital, those personnel can be used to help treat COVID-19 patients or otherwise manage the emergencies that will normally come in as well. So we believe we have the beds and we have the personnel. Obviously, it's going to be really important that we all try to stay healthy so that we can take care of those that are infected. But we also have people who have volunteered to offer service, people that have retired. And we're extremely lucky in our area to have two schools of nursing at Butte College and Chico State, and both of those schools have offered their assistance if we need it.
In addition to the extra beds, there's the matter of equipment. We're seeing across the country hospitals becoming overwhelmed and in need of things like ventilators or even masks or face shields. How is Enloe addressing the potential need for that sort of equipment?
Well, there's no question this is going to be a challenge. The national shortage of PPE is being felt by every hospital in the country. So what we do is, you know, we're closely monitoring our inventory and ensuring that all usage of PPE is appropriate and in compliance with CDC and Cal OSHA guidelines. You know, that may not be enough, but we're turning over all the rocks to try and acquire additional supplies. We're going through non-traditional supply venues. For example, we have people in our community who import from China, where a lot of the PPE is manufactured, and we're trying to establish supply lines through those individuals. They've been very helpful. We've got a great community that have generously donated what PPE they have to our medical center to bolster our inventory. And of course, we've got all kinds of people who have volunteered to sew cotton face masks. And we're evaluating how those masks would be used, but it certainly provides a great backup to what we have.
Speaking about masks, what's the current policy at the hospital regarding employees wearing masks?
Well, like I said, we follow CDC guidelines. It can get kind of complicated, but it depends on what kind of patient we're dealing with and, you know, what symptoms they have and whether or not we've been able to identify the infection. There's a shortage of lab tests in the country right now, which makes it very difficult for us to definitively rule out whether a person is infected with COVID-19, but we have other tests that we run to try and narrow the focus down. And, you know, we just have to use our masks judiciously depending on whether a person is exhibiting symptoms or not.
Speaking between the difference in CDC guidelines and Cal OSHA guidelines, why is Enloe following CDC and perhaps not following Cal OSHA regarding masks and other PPE equipment for nurses?
Well, Cal OSHA has guidelines relative to COVID-19 and recommendations on how to deploy PPE in the event of a shortage, and those concur with CDC guidelines. Everybody knows there's a shortage, and it doesn't really matter what guidelines there are if you don't have enough supplies to meet those guidelines, and that's where we're getting as a country right now. So, you know, we're doing the best that we can. CDC guidelines and possibly Cal OSHA guidelines are going to evolve during this crisis based on the available equipment that we have. We're just going to have to do the best we can.
Speaking to the communication about this crisis that's coming from Enloe to the public and both his staff, it's my understanding that at least some staff at Enloe believe that there could be more transparency on the part of administration regarding conveying what preparations are being done, policy changes, et cetera. Do you agree or disagree with that assessment?
Why is that your understanding?
Do you agree or disagree?
Well, I don't know what the context of your question is. Why is that your understanding?
In my reporting, it's come up that policies change on a whim and it's not fully communicated in advance to staff.
What's your source?
It's the wrong question.
No, it's not. What's your source?
I don't give up my sources.
Are you relying on a responsible source, one that actually knows what's going on, or are you relying on an outside source that doesn't know anything?
I don't give up my sources.
Well, first of all, this isn't about Enloe Medical Center alone. We've got an outstanding community that includes regional hospitals and health services. We've got government leadership helping us out. You know, we're in constant contact with our congressman, our assemblyman, our state senator, our hospital association. And, you know, we're just doing the best we can to be as ready as we can be. Now, this is an evolving situation, and, of course, how we respond to that is going to evolve as well. But our team is ready for that, and we're used to that. For our part, we have a very expert and experienced incident command team that's been together since, well, before the 2008 evacuation of Feather River Hospital through the Oroville Dam evacuation and the campfire. Our organization is full of people who continue to care for patients when their houses were on fire, and when they didn't know where their family members were. And to imply that we're not ready for a disaster is just ignorant. We're at our best during a disaster, and we're going to be prepared for this one.
That was Mike Wiltermood, president and CEO of Enloe Medical Center in Chico, speaking with NSPR's Andre Bayek. We're going to take a quick break, and when we get back, we'll talk with Andre about his reporting on Enloe's preparedness and capacity for a surge, and we'll hear from one of his sources. Stay tuned. This is special coverage on the novel coronavirus from North State Public Radio. I'm Sarah Bohannon. Before the break, we heard about the capacity for a surge from administration at Enloe Medical Center in Chico. To further discuss that conversation, I'm now joined by NSPR reporter Andre Bayek, who conducted the interview. Hi, Andre. Thank you for joining me.
Thanks for having me.
So we just heard an interview between you and Mike Wiltermood, who is the president and CEO of Enloe Medical Center. And the end of that conversation was frankly a little tense. You had asked a question about Enloe's communication to both their staff and the public, saying that some staff at Enloe believe there could be more transparency from the administration about plans for preparedness and about policy changes. Why did you feel that was an important question to ask?
Sure. I've been working on trying to find out Enloe's plans for a surge for weeks now. County health officials have said they're working closely with hospitals, but they won't speak for them and they won't provide specifics. Enloe representatives haven't been at county press briefings, and the hospital wasn't responding to my requests for interviews. I should say I haven't been the only person having a hard time getting the hospital to share where they are in their response to the pandemic. Elected officials have had a tough time too.
Can you tell me more about that? What have you heard from elected officials? I know you spoke with Supervisor Deborah Lucero, who covers District 2 in Butte County. What did she have to say?
Yeah, Supervisor Lucero told me she's been working for weeks trying to get all the county's hospitals on the line to share their plans and what they've been doing in response to the crisis. It looks like that will finally happen tomorrow morning. Lucero said Enloe, Oroville Hospital, and Orchard Hospital out of Gridley will brief members of the board about their plans. She said it's been frustrating not having answers to questions that these hospitals may be able to answer. And look, she said she understands part of it could be related to the resources available, but she said the public deserves to know what's going on. People can handle it and make the appropriate decisions.
Now, I know you've also reached out to medical staff who work at Enloe. What are you hearing from them about communication from administration there?
Yeah, so I spoke with Pamela Stowe. She's the chief nurse representative for the California Nurses Association at Enloe. And she says communication between administration and staff has been a problem. I checked in with her today, and she says nothing much has changed since we last talked on the record on Monday. Here she is explaining that there's been a breakdown.
The administration has stopped pretty much talking to our nursing committee and really uncertain as to why. I think maybe, I don't know, maybe they're overloaded. I don't know, because they're not talking to us.
There's a breakdown in communication between workers and administration.
Right. And because this is ever changing, I mean, it literally is changing every day of what we're doing. So, I mean, they started out with the ICU. We have two ICUs in Enloe. They were using one, and then they decided the next day they were going to move them down to the other one. So, and they came up with a different plan. So pretty much what we're seeing is that Enloe is more of a reactive situation than proactive. We tried to discuss this in the beginning with them and tell them what we needed, and it was very slow in how they reacted to all of the changes that we've demanded.
What did Stowe say the main concerns are for the nurses she represents at this point?
The main concern is keeping frontline workers like nurses healthy. She says there's been instances where nursing staff should have been supplied with N95 masks in certain situations, and they weren't. She also said some staff who might not be in contact with suspected COVID-19 patients can request N95 masks, but they're reluctant to do so because of shortages locally and nationwide. She said perhaps the hospital should be using different policies and using N95 masks now to keep nurses healthy for longer so they can get ahead of a possible surge.
However, Enloe is not promoting it unless you have a positive person here that's on a vent or in that type of a situation. So I do want to mention that Enloe has been following the CDC guidelines, as all hospitals have been doing. CDC guidelines are only a recommendation. CDC takes a lot of their information from the hospital associations. So they're getting a lot of their information from scientists, from the hospitals, to say this is what we feel they need. They have their guidelines, they put it out, the hospitals follow them. However, there's CalOSHA. For California Occupational Safety and Health, that's law. Those are the regulations that we're supposed to follow for safety. CalOSHA states that any novel virus, novel virus, out there should be treated as if it were an airborne disease, meaning you shouldn't deal with any of these patients without an N95. So the union has been pushing for the N95s because of Cal OSHA regulations, because the hospitals are not following it, and because we want to keep our nurses safe. We want to keep our patients safe. You get a nurse sick, she's going into the next room. How are we going to stop this spread if your caregivers are exposed?
Okay, so again, that message about why it's so important for the public to stay home. Is there anything else from your conversation with Stowe that you think is important to highlight for listeners?
It seems like the ever-changing policies appear to be taxing to staff. This was something I also heard from another medical worker there, whether you should be wearing a mask or not, and the guidance that the hospital appears to be changing almost daily. Stowe said the nursing staff is just having to be very flexible because they don't know what the policies are going to be when they walk in for their shift.
It's not a matter of saying, you know, we're going to do this starting on this date. It's more that reactive situation of, oh, by the way, we're going to do this now. That makes sense. But it's also it's a quickly changing situation. So if the emotional toll that it's taking on everyone is more about looking ahead and anticipating what could possibly happen. Because we know it's real and we know it's there and we're watching the numbers. And we're seeing the patients start coming up positive. And yeah, so we know it's a very real possibility that we could hit this surge.
That was Pamela Stowe. She's the chief nurse representative for the California Nurses Association at Enloe Medical. She spoke with NSPR's Andre Bayek earlier this week. And thank you, Andre, for your reporting and for speaking with me today.
Thank you.
And a quick update that at 5:40 this afternoon, we received a press release from Enloe Medical Center stating that one of its employees has tested positive for COVID-19. The release said it was a community-acquired case and it was working with Butte County Public Health to notify anyone who might have been in contact with the employee. We've talked a lot about evolving medical guidelines from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention and other regulatory bodies tonight, and now we're going to talk about it a little more. As you likely know, these types of guidelines have also changed for the public. The CDC is now officially recommending that you wear a mask when you leave the house. This is not for your protection, but instead to prevent you from giving the virus to someone else. This is because the virus can spread from people who have no symptoms and do not realize they are even infected. We now turn to NSPR's Matt Fidler, who recently talked to his wife, Jill, about how they were going to comply with this new instruction.
I am sewing together a mask with just kind of some found objects that I had around the house based upon instructions and a pattern that was provided by the Chico Idea Fab Lab.
This is my wife, Jill. While I've been helping the team at NSPR produce our daily COVID-19 show, she's learned how to make us masks for those rare times that we leave the house. But being in short supply, she had to get a little creative with the materials to make these masks.
I have one piece of fabric that is like kind of more pattern, and it was just like an old bed skirt that I wasn't using anymore. But I really liked the pattern, so I kept it. And the other one is a microfiber towel that we had plenty of. And so the elastic for going behind the ears is an old bikini, like the straps that sometimes on certain bikinis you can make them strapless or not. And so it's an old bikini strap.
But the Chico Idea Fab Lab is doing way more than just giving out blueprints for face masks. At their facility on Orange Street near downtown Chico, they have loads of equipment that they've repurposed to make materials for making face masks. To learn exactly what they're doing, I reached out to the director and founder of Chico's Fab Lab, Aaron Benwell.
Yeah, so we are producing fabric face masks County Supervisor Deborah Lucero, I actually reached out to her just after everyone started quarantining and said, hey, you know, we got all these tools in this facility. If there's anything we can do to help, please let me know. She hit me back right away and said, yeah, we could really use someone producing fabric face masks. That sort of got us started, and it's just snowballed from there. And we are now producing fabric face masks for tons of organizations and individuals, including Orville Hospital, the UDW In-Home Social Workers Union. We're producing for Superior Courts of Butte County, Glenn County, Tulare County, Nevada County, Santa Barbara County, and a few other Superior Court counties as well.
What type of face masks are there? Are they like comparable to the N95 masks, or are they more like a kind of home mask that you might wear?
They're not compatible to the N95. These are a two-layer cotton mask, so it's 100% cotton on the front and 100% cotton flannel on the inside. And the whole reason why these are now becoming necessary is because there's a worldwide shortage on N95 and also HEPA filter material. And the reason for that is that the machines that actually create that filter material take 6 months to make. So it's going to take industry worldwide, another 6 months before they can even start producing more than they were producing before. So in the meanwhile, the CDC has said interim rules are if you don't have access to N95, then a fabric face mask is better than no mask at all.
So how many masks can you put out per day?
Well, we're using our laser cutters to cut the patterns of the fabric. And we're doing about 3,500 patterns per day right now. And then as far as sewing them, we have sort of a small army of folks sewing them at home, as well as a couple of textiles companies that are sewing them for us with their employees. Right now, we're producing, I think, about 1,000 a day. We've been ramping up as quickly as we can to meet demand. So it's changing daily how many we're producing. And we're just working to get as many out as quickly as possible.
So now what can people do at home? Can they join in the effort to help make these masks or use some of your materials or instructions to make masks for themselves or their families?
Yeah, so there's two different things people can do. Right off the bat, we put up an instructional on our website so that anyone can download the pattern, and if they have their own fabric and sewing machine, they can make their own face masks. In addition to that, like I said, we're actually hiring people to sew from home as independent contractors, and we're paying $3 per sewn mask. And part of what we're trying to do there, beyond just getting the masks produced, is we're also trying to help people who've lost their jobs due to the coronavirus, have some income and be productive and help out. And, that'll help keep the local economy going. So right now, I think we have about 30 people sewing from home. And it's actually pretty good pay. If you're a quick sewer, our fastest sewers are making about $36 an hour. And if you're a slow sewer, you're making about $18 an hour. And we're paying per unit. So I'm really happy to be, helping people be productive and still, make some money and pay their bills if they've just lost their job.
So what kind of materials and equipment would a person need to start doing this at home?
All you need is a sewing machine and some thread. We basically provide kits to people who are sewing for us. We provide them kits of 60 masks. All the fabric is pre-cut. All the elastic is pre-cut. They come in and pick them up, and then they take them home, sew them up, bring them back, and pick up another batch.
And those instructions are at chico.ideafablab.com. We've posted a picture of Matt wearing the stylish mask that Jill made for him, and we'd like to see any masks that you've made. Let us know if you've used the Fab Lab's plans or some of your own. You can post your pictures on Twitter and make sure to tag us at NSPR News. And that is your program for Thursday, April 9th, 2020. If you have any thoughts for us, leave them on our message line, 433-9216, or go to our website, mynspr.org. Tonight's special coverage was produced by Mark Albert, Ken Duvall, Christian Solis, Andre Bayek, and Phil Wilkie. Our technical producer is Matt Fidler. Thank you for being with us. I'm Sarah Bohannon, News Director at North State Public Radio, and this is Special Coverage. We'll be back tomorrow evening at 6:30. Until then, stay safe, stay informed, and unless it is really essential, stay home.